You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We've got a busy Saturday in store, plenty to look forward to. York, Sandown, Chester, Bath, Musselburgh and Hexham. And that's just the afternoon lineup. We also have Leicester, Lingfield and Limerick in the evening. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:30 p.m. with myself, Mark Walton, in the studio with Andy Holding and Kevin O'Malley. We're going to look ahead to the best of the action, and joining me in the studio to do so is Kevin O'Malley. How are you, Kevin?
I'm really well, Mark. How are you?
Very good, thank you. Good old time of year at the moment. We've just got a busy Saturday coming up, and then we're almost being to Royal Ascot. So we'll start with a little bit of a look at some of the races at Royal Ascot. You looking forward to it?
Of course, yeah. I mean, just right on the back of the Derby as well. I've been light on the betting front the last few days, but some of the bets I have done well, including Harrow's End in the Derby. So got a bit of ammunition together for Royal Ascot, and looking forward to it.
Yeah, I saw you tweeting that you were keen on Harrow's End. What were you thinking in the morning when he was only 60-40 to even run?
You know, I had Harazan. I've liked him for a while now, but I had it in my mind that he'd be better at the back end of the season. But, you know, the rain came for him and, the stars aligned, so to speak. And when the rain came and they were going to run him, I just had a feeling he was going to run a big race. But I thought he'd be friendless in the market. But he was duly backed into 13-2 and he won it well. I think he's going to be a seriously good horse. I think he'll be the horse to beat in the Arc later on the season.
Stuff. Hopefully you can give us a few pointers towards some of the big races at Royal Ascot as well then. We'll start with a little bit of a look at the Queen Anne Stakes. Tepin 3-1 at the top of the market at the moment. Bellado 5-1, 6-1 for Ervedia. Excuse me, or Ervedia. Time Test 6-1, 8-1 for Endless Drama. Limato 8s, 10s or bigger for the rest. Just starting with Tepin, Kevin, obviously a few question marks with regards to the ground and running on a straight mile for the first time. But the connections seem pretty bullish about her coming into this.
Well, why wouldn't they? I mean, she's the best filly in America. You know, she's won the Breeders' Cup Mile last year very impressively. It's going to be a really interesting dynamic to see how she fares against Ervedia, who's one of the best fillies in Europe, won the Coronation Stakes, of course, at this meeting last year. So the potential matchup between those two is going to be fascinating. And then you've got some top-class colts in there. I can't help but feel that Endless Drama is going to run a big race. He's a huge horse. He's got such a high cruising speed. I can see him turning around that lock-inch form with Bellardo and coming on from that, because he just couldn't really get fine top gear, I didn't feel, at Newbury. But I think if he can improve on that, he's just the type of horse that had travelled strongly through the race and run a big one. So if I was to pinpoint a little bit of value there, it could be Endless Drama. But yeah, of course, Tepin and Ervedia, two fascinating fillies there at the top of the market.
Yeah, bit of other news as well with regards to jockeys as well. Jamie Spencer's going to ride A-Rod. Reunited with A-Rod, hasn't ridden him for a while, because Oshie Murphy's going to ride Lightning Spear in the race. Just a bit of jockey news there.
Cool, yeah, two outsiders. I mean, they're up against it on all known form, to be honest.
Yeah. So that's the Queen Anne, the St James's Palace is where we'll go next, because Ryan Moore has been pretty confident about his ride there. The Gurkha, who's 6-4 favourite for the race, he says that's his best chance of a Royal Ascot winner, which is quite a big statement from a man like Ryan Moore.
Yeah, I mean, well, I wouldn't blame him for being that bullish, considering how impressive he was. He's lightly raced, and he took a huge step forward last time out. He showed a lot of zip there and stamina at the same time. He's sure to see out this mile really, really strongly, and he's got more than a touch of class. Autad, the Irish Guineas winner, thoroughly professional at the Curragh last time out. I see no real reason why Galileo Gold should turn that form around. I can't see Emotionless being sharp enough first time out to win this. So it's all pointing toward a matchup between Autad and the Gurkha, and I just can't help but feel that if they get into a protracted tussle in the last furlong, that the Gurkha's absolute stamina and that absolute ability to really see out the trip could just be the difference. So I can see why Ryan Moore is pretty confident, and he'd definitely be my selection in the race.
Yeah, his French Guineas win was boosted recently in the French Derby as well, wasn't it?
Yeah,
a couple
exactly,
of horses
yeah.
who finished behind him finished second and third in the French Derby. So
yeah.
the form looks pretty good. Really looking forward to that, meeting of three different Guineas winners and the return of Emotionless, because I've been really looking forward to seeing him this season. He might not be fit enough or sharp enough, as you've said, to win the St. James's Palace, but just glad to see him back on a race course.
Yeah, I mean, he was a lovely two-year-old, wasn't he? And he kind of went off the boil towards the back end, and then he wasn't really firing on the gallops before the guineas, and they pulled him out of that. So it'll be interesting to see just how he fares. I can't see him quite being trapped enough to get involved right at the business end, but if he runs a nice race, it'll open up plenty of options for the remaining season.
Yeah, looked an incredibly exciting two-year-old at the start of last season. Prince of Wales at stakes next. Ashin Ikari heads the market at 11-8, 11-4 for time test. The Grey Gatsby 7s, 8-1 for found, 12s or bigger for the rest. Again, it's another great race to look forward to. Looks like Frankie Dettori is going to get the ride on time test. Only ridden him once before, and it was at Royal Ascot when they won the Tercentenary Stakes in real nice fashion. So, interesting jockey booking there.
Yeah, he was very impressive at Ascot last year, and Dettori certainly got on well with him. He pulled a stretch well clear of Peacock and Mustadine that day. And it, you know, when he won the Brigadier Gerard last time out, I mean, he was carrying a £5 penalty there against a course specialist, a fit one, a classy one in Western him.
Yep.
And that was his first run since September, and he looked pretty impressive there, you'd have to say, against a solid yardstick. There's no reason why he shouldn't progress from that and give the Japanese name Tarsa a real race of it. It looks a fantastic race in paper, and you know the Grey Gatsby's there to keep him honest as he's found. And so yeah, another cracking race to look forward to at Royal Ascot. I mean, I have to side with the British horse. I really like Time Test. I'm a fan of him, as you know. I think it was a good performance to do what he did at Sandown the last day, and I think he's the horse to beat.
Yeah, I'm hoping Time Test puts it up to Ashin Ikari, but there's part of me that just is worried about the Japanese challenger there, because he was very, very impressive in France last time. Have you seen the? Did you go back and watch the?
Yeah, do you remember? I hadn't watched it when it initially happened, but I went back and watched it, and yeah, he was visually impressive. You know, he got the run of the race, but he did look very classy. I just wonder how he'll respond when something like some of the quality of Time Test comes up against him and puts it up to him. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it goes.
Mm. Yeah, so those three races, just three of the highlights of a superb week at Royal Ascot. Anything else you're looking forward to seeing there?
Well, I just over the last few, Frankel as a sire. I mean, I'm flabbergasted. I mean, everything was so negative when his yearlings were going through the sales ring and the 2-year-olds were going. Everything was not overly negative, but there was question marks over his first crop, wasn't there? And you know, but they're really producing now where it matters on the track. And when I watched the other that filly the other day, what's her name? Fair Eva.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you almost don't want to say it for fear of sounding silly, but she runs like him. That Frankel stride, especially on with her front legs, that kind of floaty nature about her front legs, and you almost don't want to say it for fear of sounding silly, but he is instilling some of his ability into his first crop, and he's a usually exciting sire, and this is only his early 2-year-olds.
Yeah.
So we don't even know what the back end 2-year-olds are going to be like yet. The ones that are going to improve as the season goes on and indeed be better as a 3- and 4-year-old as he was. So just I'm usually excited about Frankel as a sire now, more so than I was before. So I'm excited about that. Yeah. Also, obviously excited about Euro 2016 as well.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that, see how England get on, see how Republic of Ireland get on. But that's obviously football related.
Yeah, we're not allowed to talk about that in here. yeah, just going back to the Frankel point as well. Fair Eva was the first one to run in the Khaled Abdullah colours, which also made it look even more like Frankel.
Of course.
And Kunko, me and you were in the studio, I think, when Kunko made his debut. His run style in the closing stages was unbelievably similar to Frankel. And we might see him at Royal Ascot. I think he's going to go for the Chesham next week. So.
And so he should. He looks a quality colt, and it'll be really interesting to see how he gets on there.
Mm. 4 from 5 as a sire. That's
mad,
some,
isn't
some
it?
Some record, isn't it?
You know, mighty stuff. But, I mean, it's expected given the book of fillies he covered.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Given the early, you know, there was a lot of negativity about some of them. None of them were lighting up the sales ring. They were expensively bought, obviously, but they didn't light up the sales ring. They weren't sold for millions and all that kind of stuff.
No. Yeah, because they were kind of saying that he'd not really stamped his progeny yet, had he? And there were different shapes and sizes.
But
and
again, it all comes down to how they produce it on the track. The track is where it matters, and we're really seeing his ability being stamped into his first crop.
Mm. Plenty to look forward to next week then. Let's concentrate on matters a little closer to hand though. We better get stuck into Saturday's action. Kevin's got four races for us. We're going to go through a couple at York, one from Sandown, and the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup at Musselburgh as well. So we'll move on to that on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, we'll go through these in chronological order. So we start at York in their 3 o'clock. This is the Ganson Stakes, a listed race over a mile. It's for three-year-olds and older. We do have betting on site as well already. And the market's headed by Mutakaev and Mawari, 9-2 joint favourites. 5-1 Mind Your Own Business, Gabriel 11-2, Jalotta 11-2 as well, 9-1 for Your Fired, 10s or bigger. For the rest, a real interesting one here in the shape of Mawari, Kevin, because we haven't seen him for 698 days, but he was a pretty useful three-year-old.
He was a very smart three-year-old, but he's clearly had his training problems, and I think he was declared to run a few weeks back, and he was pulled out of that for some reason or another. So he's had hold-ups, and it just, you know, it remains to be seen exactly what kind of horse is going to turn out now. So whether or not you want to take quite short prices about him is open to debate. Mutakaev is another horse whose fitness is taken on trust. You know, it's his first time out for the season, but he'd be very interested in some of his group three form from the back end of last season. Mind Your Own Business has been running well on the sand, but relatively unproven on the grass. So again, more question marks. And as a result, I'm drawn to last year's winner, Top Notch Tonto. There's been a little bit of rain around the place. I think there might be more in the pipeline for tomorrow. So that could take the firmness out of the ground. And if it does, he's won the race last year, and his record, he's highly tried now. I think this is his 40th career start. But in listed company, he has a much better record in listed company than he does in group class. His last five runs in listed events has yielded 2 wins and a second and 2/3. So he's consistent at listed level, and I think he could run a big race. So Top Notch Tonto each way for me in that.
Yeah, they've put the blinkers on for the first time as well, haven't they? Which is an interesting approach, given that he's had 40 races and he's a six-year-old.
Yeah, I think it was first time visor, was it, last year when he won this? So,
Maybe a similar kind of idea, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, top-notch Tonto then, the selection for Kevin in the 3 o'clock at York. Moving to Sandown next for their 3:20. This one is the Scurry Stakes, a listed race over 5 furlongs. This one's for the three-year-olds, 9 of them in the lineup here. Some pretty nice-looking three-year-olds in there as well, Kevin. Which ones have caught your eye?
There is. I mean, I dare say this is an above-average 5-furlong sprint for the grade. You know, there's some a lot of group form on offer here. I think the two in terms of form to focus on are Eastern Angel and Ornate. Eastern Angel is a very, very good filly on her day, but this 5-furlong track at Sandown can throw up some funny results, and she's drawn on the outside. So I'm happy enough to leave her alone. Ornate has run on the all-weather the last twice, but when we last saw him, he ran an absolute blinder to finish second in the Group 2 Flying Childers at Doncaster. That form alone gives him a big shout here. Any improvement on it would see him be very difficult to beat, I think. I do like Daman, the top horse, but he's penalised here, and I'm just not sure 5 furlong is his trip. So with that in mind, I'm happy to stick with Ornate to make a splash here for Haggis and Moore.
On it, the selection then at Sandown in their 3:20. The big race of the afternoon at York is the 3:35, the Charity Sprint, a Class 2 handicap over 6 furlongs. It's for the three-year-olds, plenty of them in the lineup, as you would expect. We've got 20 of them to go to post at the moment. You Don't Know Do You is the 9-2 favourite at the time of recording this. 7-1 Dancing Star, Acclaim 8-1, 10-1 from 12s for Venturous. 10s also for Strong Challenge, Ikerin Road as well. Show Stealer is 11-1, and 16-1 are bigger prices for the rest. As open as you'd expect, there are easier puzzles to solve than this, Kevin, but You Don't Know Do You kind of caught my eye. He's unbeaten as a three-year-old. The ground won't be an issue, whether it's good or whether there's a bit of a dig in it as well.
He looks to have a little bit of class about him, I want to say. He's a flashy type, certainly over five so far. He's stepping up in trip, which is a question mark, but if he gets it, he could be a well-handicapped horse still. Dancing Star, I really like. She was very, very tough and resilient when she won 2 starts back at Salisbury. Really great attitude that day, and she progressed a great deal from it, and she was a little bit more flashy at Goodwood last time out. So she's shown 2 distinct sides of her game there, and she seems to be improving a lot. So she'd be my pick from the top of the market in an open race. At a big price, it wouldn't surprise me if Mark Johnston's Rifle Scope turned the corner. I think he's a lot better than he's shown in his 2 starts this season so far. I think he'll be double-figure odds. Yeah, but for me in that race, I'm happy to keep side with Dancing Star, who seems to be learning the game well.
Dancing Star to complete the hat-trick then in the 3:35 at York, and we finish off at Musselburgh in the big race of the afternoon there, the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup, a heritage handicap over 5 furlongs, a big field here as well. For this sprint, Kimbrella is the 9-2 market leader at the time recording this, being supported from 5-1 as well. Red Baron 8-1 with See the Sun and Thesme. 10-1 Duke of Firenze, Judicial 12s with Robot Boy and Fast Track, 14-1 or bigger prices for the rest. Real who's who of top class sprinters here. But I want to start with Kimbrella, who ran a blinder in the dash last time and didn't get it all his own way either.
Yeah, second in the dash last time out, and is entitled to be at the top of the market on the back of that. There wouldn't be much between himself and Duke of Firenze, who's another seriously fast horse. Won really nicely at York 2 starts back before finishing third in the Epsom Dash last weekend. So there's not a great deal between those two. There's so many big chances in here. The general gist is that higher numbers will be favoured, but I tend not to get too bogged down by the draw. The one I like in the race, just in terms of his ability to act at the course, is Red Baron. He won this race last year. He ran really well at the meeting 2 years ago as well. In fact, his Musselburgh record is excellent. He's won here 4 times, been in the frame another 4 times from his 11 starts here, so loves it around here. And despite being drawn in stall two, I think he's going to run another big race again. So it's Red Baron for me.
Red Baron to win the race for a second year in succession then for Kevin in the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup at Musselburgh. Good stuff, Kevin. Let's just have a little bit of a summary then before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections for Saturday one more time.
Yeah, in the listed Ganton Stakes, I'm going to go with Top Notch Tonto each way. In the Scorry Stakes at Sandown, the 320, I'm going to go with Ornate. The 335 at York, I'm going to go with Dancing Star in the hope that she can complete the hat-trick. And then in the 3:45, the William Hill Scottish Sprint Cup, I'm going to go for Red Baron to stage a repeat of last year's win.
Superb. Good work, Kevin. Thank you very much. Good luck and enjoy it on Saturday.
Cheers.
So there you go, the thoughts of Kevin O'Malley on Saturday's racing. He'll be in the studio with myself and Andy Holding. And a busy Saturday to look forward to as well. York, Sandown, Chester, Bath, Musselburgh and Hexham in the afternoon. And Leicester, Lingfield and Limerick in the evening. That's all live from 1:30 p.m. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast. And enjoy Saturday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.